The lectionary passage for this, the first gospel passage for this, the first Sunday after Christmas, includes the passage from Matthew that we identify often as the Massacre of the Innocents. I know the bulletin indicates that we're going to read just the first 12 verses of the second chapter of Matthew, but I think I've expanded it and going to read a little bit more than that. The familiar passage of the visit of the wise men to worship Jesus and present their gifts, and then followed by the flight to Egypt. I invite you to listen for the Word of God. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their country by another road. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or younger, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. "A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more." When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It's almost jarring to read our gospel lesson just a week after singing "Away in a Manger" and "Silent Night." Talk about a jolt to the senses. Contrast the words, "The little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. All is calm, all is bright," to "A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they were no more." A child is born, children are killed. Now, I never see a mother on television weeping for a lost child without thinking of this passage. Commenting on this passage, Jodina Hicks, executive director of Urban Promise, a ministry to youth of Camden, New Jersey, which we support, shared in an email earlier this week. Egregious immigration policies, state-sanctioned killing of minority boys, alienation of religious minorities, a leader who abuses power in order to keep his office, vulnerable families going underground or moving to other countries out of fear. This was the fear-filled environment of Bethlehem 2,016 years ago. Who would protect the least, the lost, the left out? Would a Savior come at such a time? She continues, Caesar enforced a worldwide census registration, causing fragile families to travel hundreds or thousands of miles on foot. King Herod used soldiers to kill all of the baby boys in and around the city of Bethlehem. People must have been desperate as they prayed for the scripture found in Isaiah to be fulfilled in the form of Messiah. God heard, God acted. At that time of stress, fear, and dissension, God sent a baby. The person and message of Jesus must have been the opposite of what people thought they wanted and needed to alleviate their fears and break oppression. They wanted someone with military might, someone wielding a sword and striking down those who abuse power. But that what they received was holy innocence, a baby who would grow into a man who carried a message and the power of so much more: love, forgiveness, peace, mercy, inclusion, and healing. Ms. Hicks concludes, God still comes in mysterious ways, hearing our cries, answering our prayers, and allaying our fears in unimaginable ways. Perhaps God will come in the form of a phone call or an email, perhaps in an unexpected visitor, perhaps in a song, perhaps in a moment with a child or a baby. Yes, friends, God still makes God's presence known in mysterious ways. And my hope is that you will be attuned to these holy and sacred moments. And yes, it may come in a phone call or email, in that unexpected visitor, in a song, or in a moment with a child or a baby. But I would also add, perhaps God will come in and through you. Perhaps in 2017, you might be a pinhole of light to someone else, allowing a glimpse of the divine, perhaps even a lifeline of hope. Bruce Main, the founder and president of Urban Promise, many of you know Bruce, shares this story. Auburn Sandstrom lay in a clump on her apartment floor, clutching a tattered piece of paper. Auburn knew she'd hit bottom. It was 2 a.m. in 1994. The only reason Auburn wasn't out hustling drugs on the cold Ann Arbor streets was the 2-year-old baby sleeping in the next room. Despite the fog of her addiction and the chaos of her life, she still had some semblance of maternal responsibility. Auburn didn't grow up a drug addict. As a teen, she attended an elite private school, studied abroad in college, took opera lessons, and earned a master's degree. Then she'd met the wrong guy, lost her bearings, and become hooked on drugs. If you're ever desperate and need some advice, urged her mother 3 years earlier, call this Christian counselor. Placing the paper in her hand, it was the last time they had talked. On this night, at 2 a.m. in 1994, she dialed the number. "Hello?" responded the surprised voice on the end of the line. "How can I help you?" For the next 3 hours, Auburn unloaded her story to this anonymous listener. Her idyllic childhood, a destructive relationship, the drugs, the unplanned pregnancy. "You have any Bible verses you want me to memorize?" asked the still skeptical Auburn, noticing the early morning sun coming through the blinds. "I mean, you are a Christian counselor, aren't you?" "Well, I'm not actually a Christian counselor. You must have dialed the wrong number." Auburn sat stunned in a moment of sobriety. Another person had given up his time and sleep for her, a stranger. At that moment, I realized there were random bits of love in the universe, and some of it was meant for me, she confessed later. "At the darkest and most despairing moment of my life, all I needed was a pinhole of light, and all the grace in the world could pour through." A pinhole of light. Auburn's life dramatically changed direction that night. She walked away from a destructive relationship, worked on being sober, and became an attentive mother. Last year, her son graduated from Princeton. Yes, God still makes His presence known in mysterious ways, and my hope is that you will be attuned to those holy and sacred moments. But I would also add, perhaps God will come in and through you. Perhaps in 2017, you might be a pinhole of light to someone else, allowing a glimpse, a measure of the divine, a lifeline of hope. How we respond to the serendipitous events and encounters of our lives can have eternal implications. Every random human interaction is an opportunity to remind others that they are not alone in this vacuous universe. Christmas reminds us that love exists and that pinholes of light await for us all. God may just need you and me to be the ones who deliver, to be a pinhole of light to one seeking to climb out of the darkness. Friends, may that be our prayer this morning as we gather around this table, that God will make Himself known to us in exciting and unexpected ways, and that we, in turn, might be pinholes of light, shining in the darkness.